Hello, this is a show from Radio. We're a group of stations bringing new and forgotten ways of making radio to our listeners.
Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Each week we give artists the challenge to make radio that works across the whole of Europe and beyond.
Delta 2 Yankee, Delta 2 Yankee, Juliet Romeo.
Are you up for it?
Midnight Drive is a late-night radio show that appears amidst the late hours of the night. To fully embody this experience, it is recommended to listen to it while driving in a car. If you can, go and sit somewhere comfortable with headphones on. Close your eyes and lay back, allowing yourself to be transported into the driver's seat of this vehicle.
Breaking news, a crash said to have happened on I-76.
To those in the know, that is like,
yeah,
right?
I mean, and the thing that is,
look out the window to your right now. What do you see?
There was a crash 4 minutes ago that happened. You might not have been aware of that. Figured I should be the one to tell you. But we'll worry about that later. First, I have some questions that I think you might find interesting on your journey to wherever you might be going. Firstly, where are you right now? I don't mean physically or, geographically. I mean, like, time. In time, where are you right now? Where are you going? Where were you a minute ago? An hour ago? 4 days ago? Is it happening all around us, or is it just, is it actually linear? Like a movie that plays and has a beginning, a middle, an end, or an audio track that, once you start that song, it will eventually end. If time exists as a sphere, let's say, and you're experiencing every single moment of your life all at once, how can you even tell what's real anymore? How do you process that? There might be different ways to work that out. Being present, of course, is always important, but one has to assume that the future's always unwritten and we have some sort of control over our lives. But that might not be true. It might just be in this second, this one decision you make that could change everything. Up next, we have some new stuff coming out that I think you're gonna like. Maybe it'll help explain what's going on, but just keep looking out that. Just keep looking forward and pay attention to where you're going. You've already experienced it. We have a quick weather report here. It seems that there's a snowstorm headed down I-76 in which authorities are warning drivers out there to be safe and cautious as they continue their night drives. So if you're out on I-76, do be careful because it's apparently not looking too good out there. Actually, if you look outside right now, it seems the snow's is starting to fall. Hopefully you're not too distracted, but I think it's worth the glimpse. If you're stuck out there, probably a good idea to make sure someone knows where you're headed and that you're taking those safety precautions. Kind of silent though, isn't it? Without any distractions, any music playing, just the wind, the snow, trees moving. Must be cold out there. The weather's been a bit peculiar recently, even though it's not necessarily the hardest part of winter yet. And the climate's been a bit uneasy. Well, I guess we can kind of blame human actions on that one, it seems. I don't know, everything seems to have been shifting recently due to, I don't know, maybe advancements in technology and
energy sources, materials, mining. Or isn't exactly the best way to gather material, because of course it's going to do something. There's always a cause and effect relationship with things. Which actually leads me into my question during this time, is really starting to begin to wonder about the relationship humanity has between existence and nature. This harmony that they share together, and the ideas kind of surrounding it. Because there's two sides to this conversation, if you will. There's the idea that humanity is the focus, is the center of everything, and that they need to keep moving, undoing things, and progressing in order to save everything around them. And that everything on the earth, as a material, as an organism, as a source of energy, is for human consumption. It's basically a big playground. And then there's quite the opposite, which is that humanity is no more important than every organism on the earth, and that they have to go back and become one with nature again, to have a harmonious relationship, to feed off of each other and live in a communal sense. And both are fine. But I still think there's this question of existence that comes into mind. What is humanity's place in existence? Why do they exist? And what happens if another organism was to take its place? If, for example, the orca whale was the superior being on the planet, and humanity was still there, but not at the level that they apparently seem to think they're at now, what would happen? There seems to be sometimes a miscommunication that humans surviving amongst nature is like the Garden of Eden, where everything is harmonious. That there's sort of a nostalgia surrounding that, that we have to go back to this way. We have to go to the previous existence that once happened, but it doesn't mean that it even happened. It could have potentially, this could potentially just be a myth. That there ever was this harmonious gathering of beings, that everything worked together. There's a nostalgic feeling. But I think the thing that is always forgotten is that humankind has always been on this fight or flight, the survival of the fittest mentality, since thousands of years ago, since they first existed, that the relationship to nature isn't necessarily harmonious, it's aggressive. It's to devour beings in order to survive, and to devour material to get an edge in the world. That's not to say that this other idea of modernity and society becoming the focus of everything, and that they have to produce and manufacture and capitalize on people and other resources is any better, because it's clearly not. And it's, you know, extreme weather falls is not something that should be happening. But it all comes down to this concept of balance. The idea of trying to balance everything at once, and humanity struggle to control that balance, to want to control it. Because even living in harmony, there is a balance to that, to wanting to have complete control and equal engagement with everything, humans surviving amongst animals, amongst plant life and fauna, and all kinds of other living organisms. The thing is, there's always going to be something that throws another thing out of balance, and then there has to be kind of a recoup period, or a rebound period, if you will. kind of brings me to this point about the writer, Henry David Thoreau, who decided to kind of leave everything and live in the wilderness. And for those listening who don't know who he was, and I'm not a historian, but I can do my best here. Thoreau was a writer who went to Harvard University and pursued this love of writing, but firmly rejected the ideas of modernity and industrialization to the point in which he decided he wanted to go live amongst nature. Now, before this, before these ideas really came into form, he was really awestruck and taken by Ralph Waldo Emerson's transcendental philosophical ideas. And really this American concept of transcendentalism. And that was kind of the spark for him and what he needed to take action and really make decisions. And so he left society pretty much and decided to go build a cabin in the woods next to Walden Pond, in which he writes his most famous work, Walden. He builds everything by hand. His entire cabin is made with his own tools, his own bare hands, and he gathers the materials himself, and that becomes very, very, very important to Thoreau, to do everything by one's self, including living by oneself. Because to him, it's not necessarily bad to be around other people, but it is important to be by oneself for long periods of time. Because even, you know, communicating with others and being around people is important for human growth and social growth. But to Thoreau, it could be dangerous because people tend to escape into other people's lives to avoid their own issues. And when you're by yourself, you just have yourself to focus on. Pretty strong concept, pretty aggressive one too. But it brings about this question of how people exist in the world. That there's those like Thoreau that decide to leave everything and live in nature, building everything by hand and still really kind of invading somewhere and taking it over to kind of carve out one's existence. And those who decide to live in cities and suburbs, towns, and places in which society carves out a place for those to share and stay and communicate with each other, but also deal with the structures that come with that. Because if you live by yourself, you form that structure. You create it. You make it happen. If you live with others, they have the power to do so. And everybody must come together to make those societal decisions. And a lot of the times that's not the case. Because balance is hard to achieve. And harmony can also be incredibly difficult when you have opposing powers.
Did you hear about what happened?
But there is something to the idea of living out in the woods that's very romantic. And this is coming, of course, out of the romantic era, and we're moving into transcendentalism in this time period, in the 19th century. As good as it may seem, it also comes with its issues, with isolationism, with the lack of community, and with just kind of being present and dealing with one's own faults, issues, and dealings. And it brings, of course, the question of sustainability. Is that actually a better sustainable method to go back to smaller communities and integrate them with nature and integrate them with how this happens? Versus the idea to become so technologically advanced that they can fix everything. That, of course, the problem exists. And there's these questions of existence and these questions of how are we going to solve this terrifying future in which, if they keep using resources, it can get worse by developing. Snow's still piling up. Doesn't really matter. As it gets cold out, still needs to be a fire. There still needs to be something to warm you up. And I think Thoreau has a point, but I also think that now there's always going to be that nostalgic feeling, just like Eden, where one wants to go back and live in a time in which humanity was growing amongst the trees and everything lived in harmony. And I don't know if that's necessarily true. I don't know if it's necessarily the model in which things need to be built on for one's own sake. Or maybe it is. And it's better. But it is a very strong question in which way one has to perceive their existence. Specifically their existence among the outer world and what's around you. Because humanity is not the focus of everything. They're not the focal point of this world. There's other things that exist, and it's important to recognize them as such. Wind's picking up a bit, though. We're getting another weather report that the storm is beginning to pick up, so might be a good time to either pull over if you need to, or if you're going to keep going, turn on those windshield wipers, because it could be dangerous. Speaking of other things existing, do you see that light up ahead? There's a cabin coming towards you. The yellow light coming through the windows. Smoke rising out of the chimney. Multiple cars parked in the driveway and snow still on the roof. Icicles forming at the edges. Its foundation built out of stone and its walls made out of wood.
Yeah, it's formed over the lake.
There's a faint kind of humming coming from the cabin, too. It seems like people are inhabiting it right now. Some sort of gathering occurring. Seems like they're waiting for guests at this place. Well, passing by us now, and the snow seems to be coming down more than ever. Definitely pretty cold out. Well, continue driving safely down that road, and I hope you have a safe journey through this snowstorm and calm journey to wherever you're headed. Up next, we have some more tunes for you that I think you're gonna enjoy. Just keep looking ahead and you'll get there eventually. But one quick question. Do you remember where you were headed to? It's probably not that important. Thank you for listening to this extended episode of The Midnight Drive. My name is Joe Cimino, and I'm an artist, musician, and podcaster, and specifically the creator of this work. The Midnight Drive is an audio work that utilizes the podcast format to play with the displacement of time, specifically bringing the past, present, and future into an unknown and unfamiliar present, leaving room for existential questions regarding time, reality, and existence to flood in. The project really originated from this idea of how, through the use of audio, could you experience being inside of a car? And how could, in the comfort of your home, in an actual vehicle, in walking outside, wherever your journeys take you, how can then you be transported to this alternate state, this meditative place that has no real sense of where, when, or why? As well as that, there was a notion of how we go about filling our time when traveling or doing other things, whether it be through music, through podcasts, through just silence and listening to the sounds around you. How do we fill that? And so in The Midnight Drive, there's this attention to the peripherals and this idea of what's happening around the main story, versus just being direct and told. But really, the details through the story are in the background. If you enjoyed this special episode of The Midnight Drive and wish to continue listening to the full story, all episodes are available on radiopapese.org. If you're curious about my work and other projects, you can check out my website at josaminoart.com. And if you want to hear an ongoing podcast that I'm co-host of, you can check out the Uncanny County Museum, available wherever you get your podcasts from. Thank you, and I hope you stay safe wherever your journey takes you.
End of transmission. Find us on the internet, radia.fm. Over and out.